This is JFM Podcast.
Good morning to you and thank you for staying with J101.9 FM. Today is Tuesday and it is February 16, 2021. It's 1 minute past the hour of 9 a.m. I am your host, Zoe Machunga.
And I am Marini Kijiolodniliwa. You're welcome.
All right, the media's business is to provoke debates and mold opinion. So welcome to another edition, the Tuesday edition of your favorite morning radio current affairs program, Let's Talk, right here on J101.9 FM. It's a new day and second day of the work week. Much to talk about this morning still on the news trending, constitutional amendment and possible areas for electoral reforms. And we get fresh perspectives this morning in the studio with us to give us some more fresh perspectives is Right Honourable Estefanus Mwansat. He's a former Speaker, Plateau State House of Assembly. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure, Zoe.
All right. We've seen a lot going back and forth concerning amendments, concerning the National Assembly, concerning their functions, and so much more that Nigerians do not seem to know concerning the functions, especially. I mean, I was reading about a research that said that when Nigerians were asked what they expected from National Assembly members, they actually expected projects to be coming from those in forms of even structures, infrastructure, and all of that. So we're hoping this morning you can give us more information concerning what the roles now of our legislature is in the society and how they're faring so far. We'll take a look at that when we look at Jega's report and how he assessed the 8th Assembly versus the 7th Assembly. And we're seeing also we just have some few more years to go. And I believe with what is on ground, we can even give some assessment. But before we get into all of that, there's a lot to understand when it comes to restructuring now every nook and cranny of governance in Nigeria. Many are calling for restructuring. How confident are you about the clamor for restructuring? Many say the issue of restructuring is very delicate and needs to be treated so.
Yeah, sure. For me, restructuring, as it were, means different things to different people, depending on where you stand. Some people see restructuring in form of fiscal federalism. Some see it in the aspect of devolution of power. Some see it, of course, in terms of restructuring the country's, what do I call it, demography or the structure of the country in itself, going back to the first, Republic when we were operating as regions. So restructuring means different things to different people. But for me, I think basically I will go with those that believe that what we need is strict fiscal federalism where all the federating units are empowered to carry out so many things. Of course, you need to look at the constitution and you need to shed the powers from the center. You need to revisit the concurrent and the exclusive legislative lists. There are so many items on the exclusive lists that you need to allow the states to handle. And then, of course, we must tinker with the Constitution because there's so much imbalance in this country supported by the Constitution, really. So that's my take as far as restructuring is concerned.
Okay, now, still again, when we look at other issues, you know, does the country really need a brand new constitution as opposed to constitution amendment? What amount of amendment would be okay? I mean, what should the lawmakers do instead? What should President Buhari do? I mean, what moves constitutionally should we look out for to know that the president is serious with this amendment that we've been clamoring for? Now, before setting up a national conference, many are saying the president should have, first of all, sent a bill to the National Assembly. But then many are also saying, asking the question, what has tied the hands of the National Assembly to be unable to change the Constitution? Many say it's because it benefits them. That is why they will never agree. But generally, I mean, whose hands is it to start this process?
Well, for me, I will subscribe to a brand new constitution for this country, because we need to convoke a national conference where Nigerians will converge to discuss what they want, really. Not a constitution that is being foisted on them by the military, because the structures of the country as proposed by the constitution in itself is faulty. And I also feel that the National Assembly needs to do more, because people have diverse reasons as to why they go into politics, and because the sole responsibility of changing or altering the Constitution rests with the National Assembly. You'll agree with me that majority of them, for as long as those portions of the Constitution that needs to be altered will affect them, they may not be in a hurry to visit such areas. And that's why the convocation of a national conference suffices.
Mm.
And I think basically we need a new constitution in this country.
Not an amendment.
Not really an amendment, because the several amendments that have been attempted, for me, there hasn't been any much difference from what we've always had. And therefore, why don't we go for a brand new constitution?
Who then should drive the process for a new constitution? As it is, it's not in the hands of the people to do that. Who is saddled with that responsibility?
Well, I think the challenge we're going to have is the fact that our democracy is an evolving one. Secondly, we have been so engrossed in sectional patriotism. People are more patriotic to where they come from rather than being Nigerians, as it were. And I thought that the Goodluck Jonathan's Constitutional Conference would have been a platform upon which we will start something, basically. And now, as I said earlier on, the structures within this country, as biased as it is, will not allow people really to engage in a very, very new constitution for this country.
Mm.
Because when you look at the composition of the National Assembly, particularly the Federal House of Representatives, where you see the distribution or allocation of federal constituencies is skewed, deliberately skewed. You find out that a particular state will have the number that three states or four states will need representing them being presented by one state. It's very unfortunate. And that makes it extremely difficult for people to really talk the Nigerian project, really, not concentrating more on what affects them as a region or what affects them as a people. Rather, people are concentrated in personal interest, regional interest, sectional interest, as against or as opposed to what they're ordinarily supposed to advance. That's the Nigerian interest.
But some people will argue that, you know, people coming up with regional interests and all of that is what brings us together as a nation in the end. And on the round table, this region brings their own issues. This is the reason why we have such assembly.
Well, you see, the problem is, if you are coming on at par, if you are coming from the same position of strength, then when you come with regional arguments,
right,
no problem. But if up initio, from the start point, you are coming from a weak position. Now I give you an instance. When you take Plateau, Benue, Nasarawa, and you add up the number of members of the National Assembly, particularly the House of Reps, a state like Kano produces this number of members. So you will need three states from here to come to the negotiation table as against one state. So it is already skewed in favor of a certain group of people. And therefore, when you discuss the issue of region at that level, you are coming from a very, very weak position, as it were. And you see, again, because the number of seats you have in the National Assembly is a function again of the number of local governments you have in your state.
Is that why we're seeing state creation topping constitutional review and amendments so far? State creation has been topping.
More like it, because let me give you an instance. The old Kaduna state, Kaduna, Katsina, put together, as it stands today, has almost 100 local governments. The old Kano state, Kano, Jigawa, put together, has almost 100 local governments. But when you take the old plateau, not even plateau, Nasarabet, Benue plateau, that is making a plateau, Benue, and Nasara, these three states put together, you have less than 60 local governments. This is not fair. And therefore, again, for me, I will also subscribe or advocate for the delisting of local governments from the constitution of this country. So that every state, depending on what you want, if you like go and create 100 local governments, that's your business. But where you have the lists of the local government listed on the constitution and allocation of resources is
based on
the number of local governments you have, one state will be having 44 local governments, another will be having 8 local governments. Take Bayelsa, which of course is like the cow producing the milk. Now your allocation will be for 8 local governments, as against another local government that its contribution to the national economy is neither here nor there, having over 40 local governments. So where's the justification? What's the basis of coming to a negotiation table with these two very, very wide and diverse
not on the same pedestal.
Positions. Yeah, not
yes.
on the same pedestal.
All right, let's still get back now to the National Assembly. Let's look at their duties and their roles. You were a speaker right here. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, you see, the National Assembly, or the legislature, as it were, for me, my understanding of it is the fact is that the legislature is the pivot of democracy. It is the pillar upon which democracy stands. And therefore, it's a deliberate arrangement. When you look at the constitution of this country, you see section 4, 5, 6. Deliberate sequential arrangement. Because the legislature comes before the executive. It tells you in the democratic trinity of the legislature, executive, and the judiciary, the legislature is the elder brother. And of course, everybody should defer to it. And again, the, whatever level of the legislature, whether from the local government, state, or the national, their functions are all the same. Lawmaking, oversight, and what?
Representation. Lawmaking, oversight,
and representation.
So when it comes to lawmaking, what is that about? When it comes to oversight, what is that about for the average Nigerian who has no idea what this governance thing is about?
Now we've just been talking about the constitution. Principally, that's the function of the legislature, and it also forms part of the lawmaking process of the legislature. Again, there are other legislations that you will need to make for the good governance of a state, a local government, or a nation. That is principally the function, the responsibility of the legislature. And therefore, no government, no system will operate without laws. So that tells you the position of the legislature. And anything anybody does that is outside the law, you know what that means. It means going against the rules, going outside of the norm. So that's the aspect of legislature in terms of lawmaking. Now, in terms of oversight, when you make the laws for the executive to execute, you also have another responsibility of ensuring that those laws are carried out accordingly and or as they were made, that they are carried out to the letter.
You must monitor it.
Yeah, they are observed more in practice than in breach, where you find lapses, then you also have a duty to call them to order and to bring them back on track. So that's the aspect of oversight. You pass the appropriation bill, you go to ministries, MDA or MDS, to ensure that the provisions of the appropriation bill are being carried out as they are, so that people don't go outside of whatever legislation you have made. Then in terms of representation, yes, people elect you, you hold the mandate in trust for them, because the mandate belongs to the people. So they entrust it to you to represent them. You become their voice. You lobby for them. You lobby for your constituency or your community or wherever you represent, and so on and so forth. So I think, in a nutshell, that's the aspect of representation, as it were.
Okay. Now, still the legislative arm of government, because of the long military rule that we had, is considered the weakest arm of government, as it is the military ruled by decree. So many are saying that, should we pay attention to the extent now to which the National Assembly or the legislative arm of government has faced their key responsibilities and also how they have performed? So when we look at these key components that you just mentioned here, representation, oversight, creating of laws and bills and all of that. Mm-hmm. When you look at the three components, to what extent have they met the public expectations now with regards to public responsibility? How do you rate the records now? Let's start looking at the 8th Assembly, then we look at the 9th Assembly, because we just have to, whether we like it or not. After all, the 7th was rated against the 8th, and the 8th so far is said to have been the best. And in your view, in your take now, what do you make of it?
Well, while I also align with you the fact that there's a serious hangover of the military experience that over time people have come to, beginning to get to terms to the fact that the executive, of course, during the military era, that all powers reside with the executive. Even the judicial power, because oftentimes the government is being run by decrees, and therefore you don't necessarily need the judiciary to interpret what the decree is. It is based on what the leader feels the interpretation should be. I think basically the legislature in Nigeria over time has continued to improve largely. That's my assessment. But again, I think we still need to do more, because the quality of the people that are usually elected or that should be elected to the legislature is of paramount importance. I think it's better to elect more qualitative people into the legislature than even the executive.
No, are you saying that the quality of people that are there right now, it's not...
No. Far from it. What I'm saying is that there's still room for improvement. Yeah, we have very quality people in the legislature, mm-hmm. but of course, I know we can do better. Mm. And again, the process of producing leadership or even members of the legislature is very, very important, because oftentimes you find out that the will of the people does not really prevail. The votes of the people do not really count, because oftentimes results of elections into the legislature are manipulated. When you come to a selection of leadership of the legislature, the executive believes that it has to be somebody that should be within my control. I don't think that's fair for a system, because I will expect that the leadership should naturally emerge from the members, because they know what they want, they know why they were elected into that office or those offices, and therefore they also have a separate responsibility from that of the executive, and therefore they are there to represent the people. They are there first and foremost to be loyal to the constitution of this country, not to be loyal to an individual. So where you find presidents or governors or local government chairmen insisting to influence who leads a legislature, then you know there's a problem. And I expect that members of the legislature must rise up to the occasion and make sure when it comes to producing their leadership, they must take full responsibility, so that in the event of failure, they take responsibility. In the event of success, they also take the glory.
Let's look at some of the achievement of the 8th National Assembly. We have two 2,166 bills introduced, 515 pieces of legislation passed, 21 constitution alteration bills, 5 of which received presidential assent. Senate passed a total of 172 bills, and House of Reps passed 343 bills, and 53 declined presidential assent.
And then there are also recommendations made for the Ninth Assembly. Let's take a look now. NAS should entrench pre-legislative scrutiny. Let's take a look at that one.
Well, you see, sometimes people count your success as a member of the legislature by the number of bills or motions you pass or you moved, so on and
so forth. Should that be the yardstick?
For me, it's neither here nor there, because one, the question is, how impactful is that bill to the people you represent or to society? It's not just rising up on the floor of this house
to say, oh, we've,
you say,
we've,
okay,
we've
I'm moving,
so
I'm,
so.
I'm sponsoring this bill, I'm moving this motion because I need to say something. We have a cliche here that oftentimes they call some people Senator Gum, Member Gum, because you want to run away from being addressed as such, then you think you have to say something on the floor of the house, not necessarily taking into cognizance whether your bill will impact or has any serious impact on the lives of the people you represent or in a nation state, as it were. So for me, it is not the number of bills that are passed or motions moved or recommendations or whatever, but the quality of it. It is better to have two bills passed within a legislative year that are qualitative and have serious impact on the lives of the people than having 10, 20, 30 bills that ordinarily do not amount to anything. For me, it's just making motion without movement. So it's just making mockery of the intelligence of the people that elected them into.
Okay, another recommendation now by the JGAI report for the Ninth National Assembly is create a legislative standard committee to oversee the pre-legislative scrutiny process. Then proposed legislations must establish clear monitoring mechanisms of the implementation of legislations. The National Assembly should adopt electronic voting on bills and motions. The National Assembly should maintain an accessible database of assented and gazetted legislations passed by the legislature. And also some of the bills. Okay, with that being said, what is your take on these recommendations?
Well, on the face value, they look good. But of what good are they, really, as we've said earlier on? You take stock or keep records of bills that do not add up to anything or do not amount to anything. For me, does not really make or does not really add up. Basically, I think the capacity, as I still said, the capacity of members of the legislature in terms of their intellectual mobility is very, very important. You see what happened in the legislature in the United States? Of course, a very highly developed democracy. You see what happened with the president, Trump. The question is whether we can attempt anything like that. The last time a member of the National Assembly or of the House of Reps moved a motion that the president should be summoned or should be invited to the floor of the House, shamelessly, I'm talking now as a Nigerian, shamelessly, in the course of time, the National Assembly had to apologize to Mr. President for having the effrontery to invite him. Who else will invite the president other than the National Assembly? They represent the people of Nigeria, and therefore they reserve the right, because it's a constitutional right, that they must hold the president accountable on our behalf. If we cannot talk to President Buhari, I think our representatives should talk to him and ask questions. He should talk to us. What's happening? Then for moving a motion that the House of Reps should invite the president, the day that motion was moved, we're watching TV with my friends, and I said this motion is dead on arrival because there's no how this assembly can move the president to the floor of the house. And it came to pass. Because with the benefit of hindsight, and of course, there's nothing new. It's not rocket science. You need to put two and two together and understand the direction of what things or where things are going. We are not strangers in this country, for God's sake. We knew how the leadership of the National Assembly, both the Senate and the House of Reps, emerged. It was not the true reflection or the true desire of members of the National Assembly from both chambers. They are products of the executive, and therefore, there's nothing outside of what the executive wants that they will do. And again, the Senate president at some point agreed to the fact that he will agree to be called a rubber stamp Senate for whatever it is worth. I think that is an insult on the sensibility of Nigeria.
Well, they say for the peace and unity of the nation, and when it's put that way, you really don't want to shake the table so much. I mean, we also saw last year, December, where the Senate asked Nigerians who are agitating for a new constitution for the country to perish the thought, as the National Assembly lacked the powers to do so. And that was Omoh Egege, who is the chairman of the Senate Ad Hoc Committee on Constitution Review. He gave the explanation, saying that the National Assembly had no powers to replace the current constitution, but could only amend it. He said advanced democracies like the United States of America, where Nigeria's presidential system of government was fashioned from, also engaged in piecemeal amendments. And he urged those calling for a new constitution to channel their energy towards participating actively in the ongoing amendment of the constitution by the Ninth Assembly. Now, by the Ninth Assembly, how far so far, if you rate how they have been doing with impact now, as you say, quality and impact of legislature, how do you rate how they have been doing so far so good?
Well, so far, we're where we are, because I've asked the question, from 2019 till date, of all the legislations passed by the National Assembly, those assented to and those awaiting assent and those that have been refused assent by Mr. President. The question is, of all the legislations that have been passed by this present National Assembly, I ask the question, which of them has impacted or has changed anything in this country? It has moved us from one point or from point A to point B. Which of them, I ask the question? Rather, it's better say that maybe there's been motions without movement. Yeah, they've passed the bills, assented to. Which of these bills that has been transformed into laws that has changed anything in this country? I also want to know, as a Nigerian.
Okay, let's hear from you this morning. What are your thoughts concerning the legislative arm of government, both here on the plateau and nationally, your representatives in Nigeria? Let's hear from you this morning.
You can call us on 0905566699 or 0909884888. Hello and good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Your name and where are you calling from?
Thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from City and T Junction. Actually, if we have to talk about the legislative government in Nigeria, there's nothing to talk about. Because the way you are representing the people is very, very costly. Because we cannot say that the representatives, they're supposed to be a check and balance. They are the one that's supposed to check the executive. But they are calling the executive arm of government bumper to bumper and calling what the executive arm of government are doing. For example, there is not any legislator, any senator, or any member of our constituency that will say that he goes to his constituency and have a view of what his people want, or have a local town meeting with his people. If they are only there in Abuja, when people are tired of the social reason, they cannot defend, they will just collaborate with what the executive arm of government are doing. So we need to change this system of House of Assembly. We are just about some of whether they like it or not. That's why we are calling them. Because there is a lot of people's opinion. Like example, the changing of armies and forces. Like example, people have been calling and they invite the president and they were apologizing for the presidency. Now, the issue of insecurity. People are then every day, why the number one priority of government is to give security to the citizens and government are telling, they are not going to government. you know, what are they representing? They are not representing the people that they were supposed to be. And they are not representing the candidate the way that we are voting them is very, very important. Then the government have to change the system of the voting. Because they are all power governor, power this, power that. They are not there for the financial to the national cake. So that to say, if they truly change the new electoral bill, so that we get the new system of changing the bill, and let's have this constitutional review. This constitution is not clean. Because even the executive arm of government, they are breaking the constitution, while the judicial arm of government also is under the executive arm of government. If there is a true check and balance system in the federal system of government, then we will have to fund autonomy.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your input this morning. Sadiq 090-556 in four places 99. Hello and good morning.
Good morning, Zoe.
Thank you for joining us.
Good morning to the guest in the house in the studio.
Good morning, sir.
My sister, there's something that is bothering me about the way our people, maybe our politicians, are taking this politics issue as do or die at here. There's something that is going on in my area now. They say there is a registration for membership or whatever of APC member or whatever. But they tell you to bring your voter's card. They will pick some number from the this thing and be telling people that it's because of they will bring money. They will bring food or whatever.
What area is this you're talking about?
You understand? So this thing is disturbing me, bothers me a lot because I don't see the need. You say you're looking for new members, but I still demanding for voter card, picking some number from the voter card. This thing is bothering me.
Which area is that? What area are you calling us from?
For Unity Junction side. That's a part that's precise.
So how long has this been going on for?
Honestly speaking, almost 1 week now. I even confronted some lady that convincing people, you understand, without your voter card, you cannot get anything. And when they take this number, you see, it's a very big problem because even if you vote, your vote will not count because they're already picking your number.
Thank you so much for this information. We appreciate you sharing this information with us. Now, former speaker, what do you have to say concerning this new information we're just picking up?
Well,
investigations need to be made,
well,
most
for your
importantly.
Information, I need to properly introduce myself. I am a member of the PDP. You need to know that very well, and our listeners need also to know that. I thought I was not going to talk about this, their voter, this, their membership, revalidation, or whatever they call it. But since there's an issue,
the caller has raised an issue,
has come from the people, I need to say something. I don't think this problem is peculiar to Unity Junction. You see, you need to be known for something. I expect that the APC carrying out their revalidation of membership, though a lot of them have questioned the constitutionality of this revalidation of a thing, but it is not for me to join issues with the APC because I'm not a member of the APC anyway. However, I have also received calls from my own people, from my village, from my ward, from my local government.
So this
asking,
has been happening?
Oh, sure. Asking the question because typical of them, what they go to tell the people is that, like in my own locality, what they tell them is that this is registration for national identification number. Some of them will tell them this registration is so that you will be enlisted for an empowerment thing. Because people are not responding. People are not coming out to do the registration, as it were, whatever they call it, revalidation or new membership. And of course, if they understand English very well and they say they are on a membership drive, now a new member or somebody who is interested, who has never been in the APCA, who wants to register, do you call that revalidation? No, it's not, because he's never been a member of your party and therefore there's nothing to revalidate. So they need to understand English very well and try to change what, of course.
I mean, these people are in the rural areas.
So I think if they are worth their whatever they are worth, I think they should go straight and tell the people the facts that, yes, we are on a membership drive. This is registration for a political party. So that those that are interested, really, will come out to register. But hiding under one guy's or the other, and now deceiving people to come and do whatever there is not out voters, of their volition, coercing some people. Yesterday, my driver called me and said someone, a very highly placed someone, put a call across to him and was challenging him. I heard you are stopping people from going out to register. Who the hell are you? And the guy reported to me, a very highly placed someone. And I said, keep your cool. Anybody that wants to go and register, they should carry the correct message to them so that people will come out of their own volition to go and register. Unknown to them, if you go on a deceit mission and the people go to register ignorantly as to what they are going into, when the time comes for you to use them as your members, of course, they will tell you, no, I'm not your member. I didn't register as a member of your party because the impression you gave to me was something different. And I think that will be more embarrassing to them.
Well, the thing is taking the numbers now, of their voters' card. Only God knows how far that will go.
The other day, the minister of information was alluding to the fact that they have registered up to 100 million. I am surprised. I think, you know, their high propensity to rigging of elections starts now. They have very, very high propensity to rig. And therefore, when they give you the impression today that they have 100 million members of the APC, it's a pointer. When you go in for elections, they will tell you, even if it's just our members that voted for us, we will have raised 100 million votes. I'm surprised. I can't remember the last time Nigeria recorded 50 million votes in this country in general elections. Then you are talking of 100 million. This is a shame. It's embarrassing.
Are you concerned for the election in 2023?
I'm concerned for Nigeria, not for the elections.
Okay, now, when talking about legislating now, is it time to legislate as part of electoral process? Because the last time we saw the law concerning card readers, we were told it's not part of our laws, and so we don't know what to do with it, to use it or not to use it. Do you think it is time for us to start that right away?
Of course. We would have started that before the 2019 general elections, but we keep asking the question. What's so difficult for Mr. President to assent to the electoral bill? The last time he said, when he was put under pressure, he said it was too close to elections period for him to assent to it. Now elections are over. And again, it's a corporate conspiracy between the ruling party and INEC. Because before the 2019 elections, INEC was everywhere on air. You will bear me out as a media person, that it was on air that INEC had told Nigerians that they were going to post their results on the server. Now, when they went to court, when Atiku went to court, their counsel, a senior advocate of Nigeria for that matter, now gave an analogy and said, when you come to my house and you request to see my wife, and I tell you, I don't have a wife. And you'll insist that I have a wife. It's me who married the wife. And I say, I don't have a wife. And you're insisting that I have a wife. Then it's neither here nor there. And what was he saying? He said, INEC does not have a server. That how can you insist that INEC has a server? For God's sake, this is Nigeria. And we want this democracy to develop. I don't think we're prepared for it. So the president, by right, as a Nigerian, I am asking, as a Nigerian, not representing anybody, but representing myself and my interest, that the president needs to sign this electoral bill into law. The time is now. We need to incorporate the card reader into our laws, because other than that, anything short of that, the courts, the Supreme Court says the card reader is alien to the Electoral Act.
Mm.
That the Electoral Act does not recognize the card reader, so it doesn't matter whether you use it or not. You are home and dry because the law does not recognize it. So the time is now. We must, at this point, I expect that we should be venturing into the electoral voting, as it were, so that we move from one point to the other. Other than that, this democracy, to me, is just stagnating in one place. We are just marking time. Mm. We are not moving forward.
Okay, still talking about electoral reforms as part of constitutional amendment process, many Nigerians are very worried about the link between the judiciary and election outcomes. Like, it would appear that in a lot of cases, some election outcomes have been determined not by votes but by courts. And the situation that we saw in Imo, in Bayelsa states readily come to mind here. What is your take on this?
Unfortunately, sad but true. Now the challenge rests squarely on the shoulders of INEC, because if INEC is determined and committed to giving us a very credible, free and fair elections, of course we will have it. But unfortunately, still, with the recruitment process of those that make up the leadership positions in INEC, they said, "He who pays the piper dictates the tune. I also still believe that we must revisit the UWES report with regards to INEC in terms of appointment of chairman and, of course, the federal commissioners.
Mm.
Because if that power is vested in the president, of course the president is a partisan person, because he got to that position on a platform of a political party that has an interest in that election. And therefore, he is human. It's normal. Even if I'm the president today and I'm saddled with the responsibility of appointing the national chairman or chairman of INEC and the federal commissioners, of course, the humanness in me will suffice. And of course, if I cannot resist pressure also from my political friends or political allies, then what we'll need to do is to get people that will do our bidding to hold such positions. And therefore, I think the recruitment process, as far as that is concerned, should be also looked at or looked into. That's the only way we can have a semblance of neutrality of INEC. And of course, again, oftentimes when you go to the tribunal, INEC, being human, made up of human beings, that they are not immune or insulated from they are not infallible, so to speak. But even when they make a declaration in error, they go to the tribunal to justify that mistake. I don't know.
How they're able to do that. Well, let's hear what the people are thinking. You can reach us in 0905566699. Hello and good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. Very much, Hunger Arrange. It's Emeka. I'm calling from Terminus. Well, good morning to your guest. Because you got from this house, I think INEC should look into it and carry out an investigation on that. I think that should be the duty of INEC. If they really are independent, they should pick up from here and run the investigation. On the National Assembly, are rubber stamped, especially this state assembly. You know, we've been seeing previous National Assembly leadership and, you know, the way they have been managed. Currently, it is more pronounced now that they are more like a rubber stamp. You look at the issue of borrowing. The National Assembly keeps allowing the federal government to keep borrowing money. I don't even get to understand. Look at the expenditure. Look at the fighter jet the president wanted to buy. He did not go to the National Assembly. And all of a sudden, even the same National Assembly, some of the members were already, you know, defending the president. I don't get to understand. An institution that should know that the president must see people before making expenses, and the president did not see you, and he's saying he's normal, and you're representing that institution. What makes any country strong is the institution. You're here in this country, our institution is nothing to write home about. And one of the challenges we're having today is the issue of the headers for mass clash. And I've been expecting, even if the National Assembly wants to do this, to ensure that the president look into this. And what do the president needs to do? If the president has refused to sponsor a bill to the National Assembly to ban
open grazing, then the National Assembly should be man enough to start passing a bill, you know, start having the conversation on seeing if they should see this thing as a bill. But when these people are not doing it, that means they are not even listening to the cry of this country. So that is just my take. The current National Assembly, as far as I'm concerned, they are rubber stamp. You know, even look at
what
happened.
Thank you, Emeka. We appreciate your input this morning. Hello and good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Go right ahead. Hello.
I want to. My name is Obinna. I'm calling from Bukuru.
Go ahead, Mr. Obinna. We can hear you.
Yes, I want to agree with the last caller. If you understand, these National Assembly are the problem of our country because they are rubber stamp. Why do I say so? We can see what is playing out in terms of the ID of the police. Constitutionally, the ID has passed at 5 years. And that act of Mr. President is supposed to be an impeachable act. But because we have said it, if the Senate President will tell us whatever the President brings, he will attend. What are we saying? These people are not representing us. They are representing their personal interests. Apart from their personal interests, you can see what is happening in this country today. So many places are on fire. But what they are interested in is to go and force people to register to a political party, deceiving those people that they will use this thing as a medium to get politics or to get other things, which is very, very bad. What I'm trying to say this morning is if Nigeria wants to move forward, the current constitution we are using, we're supposed to throw it out and then review new constitution. Because even the current one we are practicing, are we obeying it? Because there is, in this current, this thing, there is federal character. Have they respected that federal character so that every state, every region receives sense of belonging in this country?
Thank you so much. We appreciate your input this morning. I'm afraid we have to let you go now. And back to the conversation. Let's allow you, Right Honorable Stephanus Mwansat, former Speaker, Plateau State House of Assembly, to respond to some of the comments made so far.
Well, I think just like some of them have said, they've raised issues. Somebody talked about the issue of the IG of police. Where in sane societies, what we are having now cannot be accepted. Now, the day a police is enlisted into the Nigerian police, the day anybody or somebody that joins the Nigerian police is enlisted, the day he will be leaving that service is known.
Hmm.
The day the IG was appointed Inspector General of Police, it was known to government that on day X, he is supposed to be moving out. Now, when the day comes, you said you need 3 months to get a replacement. It tells you it's a jaundiced system, that something is wrong with someone or with some people. So it's neither here nor there. It is still playing the same game.
Okay, now.
So still playing the same game. We're not serious over national issues.
Okay,
let's
come to home now. You were the former speaker, and we've seen...
From what year to what year
were you the speaker of the House?
The speaker or in the House?
In the House and then being a speaker.
I was in the House from 2006 to 2015.
And the speaker?
I was a speaker in the 6th Assembly from 2008 to 2011.
Wonderful.
That's interesting. So in your journey so far, your experience with the House, what are the deficiencies that you could point out, you know, in the legislature?
And some recommendations to go with.
Yeah, for me, like I said earlier on in my opening remarks.
That is here on the plateau.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm.
It goes for everything concerning the legislature, as it were. You see, since the legislature, for me, is the pivot upon which democracy stands, the people that make up the legislature, in terms of their capacity and experience, is very important.
Hmm.
I have had cause to challenge some constituencies to the effect that you say after 4 years, you have another run for somebody, you move. It is not helpful to democracy. Within your first 4 years, government spends so much money to develop your capacity in legislative duties.
Mm-hmm.
After 4 years, you go back home and sit back. Then a new set of people will come in. So for me, I think basically that what has affected the legislature, particularly on the plateau, is this issue of rotation in the various constituencies. After 4 years, you have to leave. No matter how well you've done, no matter how well you've represented the people, you'll have to go for a new person to come in. And therefore, it has a way of pulling or stagnating the progress of the legislature in the state. After every 4 years, you have more than 50% of those coming as new people. So they have a way of impacting negatively on the older ones who wants to move forward. They will drag you back because you need to carry them along. It will take them a minimum of 1.5 years to 2 years to understand the rudiments of what the legislature is all about. By the time they are 3 years in office, posters are everywhere trying to replace them. So I feel very strongly, and I will want to advise very strongly to all the constituencies in Plateau to ensure that, I will appeal to them that where people are doing well, not minding whether you do rotation or you do whatever you call it, allow people to come back so that they develop their competences in the act of legislation. And of course, I think your constituencies will be better, the state will be better, the system will be better, and governance system will also be easier for whoever is at the helm of affairs.
Okay, lastly now, you commented, we heard from you concerning the decision of the Senate to invite the CBN governor, sequel to a motion by a federal lawmaker, Senator Estefanus Dungiang, during plenary on Thursday at CBN's directive to stop financial institutions from transactions in cryptocurrencies and matters arising from them. What is your take on this?
Well, same old story. The other day, there were hue and cry in the National Assembly where the GMD of NNPC has refused for the 10th time to honor invitation of the National Assembly. And again, going ahead to also instruct subsidiaries of the NNPC not to respond to the National Assembly. I don't know if the CBN's the call by ID Giang will see the light of day. Because all these appointees of the executive have been so emboldened to a point of disrespect to the National Assembly or to the legislature. I think this is dangerous for our democracy. We're talking about fashioning a presidential system after the American presidential system. There's nothing close to that. Nothing at all.
Because we're practicing Nigerian democracy.
We're practicing Nigerian homegrown democracy. There's nothing American about our democracy here. Nothing.
Now, my last question. Do you agree the president should sign a bill against open grazing?
For me, it's enough for the states to sign those bills. We don't need the president to sign a bill.
So what has stopped, especially in Plateau, because of the issues that we've had consistently? Why have we been slow?
Willpower and political power is lacking, and self-interest.
All right, let's get to our feedback handles now. On Facebook, Igiem Haruna is saying, please, if you want Nigeria to move forward, our president needs to call his brothers to order. Agia Goodness is saying, there is no conflict between farmer and herders. There is a group of Fulani that are just attacking innocent Nigerians. And the best thing Buhari could have done was to implement the conference report done by Jonathan and more amendments to follow until we get an acceptable document as a constitution, which is also always to be subjected to amendment as years go by. But Buhari is not building on the past. Instead, he's busy doing moves. He does not give audiences like past presidents for dialogue or presidential media chats for people to know what plans he has and if need for constructive criticisms.
And Isang Atsi says, good morning. Let's talk about Nigerian issues, the Nigerian government. They can say something about, you do not see it on ground. Never. Now, audio money and talks we see. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Eric in Yam says, good morning. My problem with the assembly is that they're just a rubber stamp. And the economy is crumbling. They do not checkmate the executive if they are not rubber stamp. Why are things going wayward? And the message and the masses are just watching and crying. The National Assembly are also agreeing with the executive.
And banning of open grazing is I'm not in support because it's going to cause more problems if the government does not make a does not take proper action, from Suleiman Jibril. Emmanuel is saying National Assembly have to tell us I'm not sure what you're trying to express here. Open grazing or closed grazing is an individual's business, and farming is also individual business. So why are government taking sides? We are overflogging this issue. Let's call a spade a spade. With this being said, this is where the Tuesday edition of the program Let's Talk comes to a close. And it has been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure, being with you here in the studio this morning, right, Honorable Stephanus Mwansat?
The pleasure is mine.
And thank you for taking your time to share some experts' information to educate the public this morning. I'm yours truly, Zoe Machunga.
And I'm Renegade Yoloni Liwa. Have a fantastic Tuesday.
Up next comes News Top of the Hour, and after that, the Midday Show with Ogi Digbo. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.